Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast dedicated to keeping you in touch with many of today's most important issues and examining how those issues directly affect our traditional values. And now, here is author and constitutional lawyer, Phyllis Schlafly.
The escalating price of going to college is a national scandal. The price of college has risen much more than inflation. Is college worth its cost? Economics professor Richard Vedder has just reported on a new study made by the Center for College Affordability and Productivity at the University of Texas in Austin. It concluded that the University of Texas could cut its tuition by as much as half simply by asking the 80% of faculty with the lowest teaching loads to teach about half as much as the 20% of faculty with the highest teaching loads. This change would require most of the faculty to teach, on average, about 150 to 160 students a year. For example, a professor might teach one undergraduate survey class for 100 students, two classes for advanced undergraduate students or beginning graduate students with 20 to 25 students, and an advanced graduate seminar for 10 students. That would require the professor to be in the classroom for only 200 hours a year, and that's hardly a tough assignment. We can hear the yelping from the professors that this would interfere with their research mission. Now, first, nearly all the research is done by only 20% of the faculty. Second, how about asking professors to do the work week that other professionals do, 9 to 5 for 5 days a week for 48 weeks a year? And third, much research consists of obscure articles published in even more obscure journals on topics of trivial importance. If professors published fewer articles and did more teaching, we could make college more affordable. Most colleges are reluctant to spread information about themselves, their policies, their faculty, and their employees. It's time to change that. There's no better place to start than by examining the workload of those who receive most of the university's budget.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Double-digit unemployment has been blamed on the economy, outsourcing of jobs to foreign countries, illegal aliens taking U.S. jobs, illiteracy, free trade, and Washington's misguided stimulus bill. At eagleforum.org, we want to hear your opinion. Join the blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth, one word at a time, here on The Unsolicited Opinion.
You debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Buddy, this is Maggie Rodden, and welcome to The Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing today? Hey, I'll tell you, it is definitely a great life if you don't weaken. And I have another great guest lined up today that I know a lot of the listeners out there are going to enjoy hearing from this gentleman. And I am excited to have him on with me. I want to give out some contact info. So for any of you out there who are interested in calling in and giving me your solicited opinion, you're more than welcome to do so. That number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Is the number. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. I always have links to my guest websites up and up on mine after the show under the tab entitled podcast, and that's where you'll be able to find that the podcast of this show. And I want to say a special hello to all of the different stations throughout the country who are carrying this broadcast and all of the different programming that you hear on Republic Broadcasting Network, which, of course, we are all about redistributing the truth here on this network. So, hey, to make that happen, advertise on the network, send a few dollars to the network to make that happen, because the only way that you are going to be free is if you help to have the truth redistributed. It's not going to happen any other way. It doesn't happen through the mainstream media. That's just a fact. That's reality. And I also want to give another special hello, I suppose, all the stations that carry the programming on Republic Broadcasting Network are special, so I really don't want to elevate one group above another, but I do want to say hello to all of the listeners in the Dallas area who are listening on KHFX 1140 AM. Welcome to the truth, kids, because I got news for you. You're not hearing it anywhere else except on alternative media networks and in publications, because the mainstream media is only interested in enslaving you with lies. They have absolutely no interest whatsoever in telling you the truth. Now, my guest this morning is a professor of psychology at Cal State University, Long Beach, and his name is Kevin McDonald, and I want to welcome him to the show, and I'm very excited to have you on with me, Professor McDonald.
It's great being here.
I had actually read your Culture of Critique a while ago, and I thought that that was a rather interesting analysis that you did, and I'm going to give a little of your background out there to everybody so that they know who you are. Though I have a feeling, Professor McDonald, a lot of the people on this network are already familiar with your work, but you are a professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach. After receiving a master's in evolutionary biology, he received a PhD in biobehavioral sciences, both at the University of Connecticut. His dissertation focused on behavioral development in wolves and was done under the direction of Benson E. Ginsberg. He continued developmental research during a postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Illinois under Ross D. Park, performing research on human parent-child play, particularly rough and tumble play characteristics of fathers. He has a very lengthy resume, and he is the author of more than 100 scholarly papers and reviews, and he is the author of Social and Personality Development and Evolutionary Synthesis, A People That Shall Dwell Alone, Judaism as a Group Evolutionary Strategy, Separation and Its Discontents, Toward an Evolutionary Theory of Anti-Semitism, and The Culture of Critique, An Evolutionary Analysis of Jewish Involvement in 20th Century Intellectual and Political Movements. Professor McDonald, I really wanted to, I've got a lot of questions for you today, and I it's rather interesting to me. I had, we'll start with this. I was listening to, and I don't even know how I stumbled upon this. I was listening to a YouTube video of Dennis Prager talking about why Jewish people don't want Americans to have a national identity. And it reminded me of your book, The Culture of Critique. And so I thought we'd start with that, but we've only got a couple minutes before we're going to hit the first break. So we'll play that when we come back from the first break. But when I read your Culture of Critique, it really makes perfect sense. If one is into self-preservation, and I think that one of the greatest human instincts is, of course, for self-preservation. One would think that anyway, innately. I mean, the desire to keep oneself alive is such a strong desire. Then you would do all the things necessary to see that happen. However, that really doesn't seem to be the case today in certain sectors of of society. People aren't doing everything they can to keep themselves going, and what you had written in The Culture of Critique plays right into that. And what Dennis Prager had said, why Jews don't want Americans to have a national identity, that also kind of plays into that. And we're going to hit the first break in, oh, I don't know, less than a minute, I think. So I'm going to read a little something from your Psychology and White Ethnocentrism paper. And when you right in there talking about while growing up, I would often read accounts of European heroes who had battled for their people and for great causes. William Wallace, Robert Bruce, and the Scots against the English. Sir Francis Drake leading the battle against the Spanish Armada. Charles Martel and the Franks defending Europe against the Muslims. King Leonidas and the Spartans at Thermopylae, and many others. Those days seem over now. Our political leaders are actually managing the displacement of their own people, and very few white people have the courage to do anything other than vote them back into office, or they vote the other party, which simply changes the faces of the managers. And a few music as we're going to break, and when we come back, Dr. McDonald, we can kind of get into all this. Okay. Listen, everybody, this is The Unsolicited Opinion. We'll be right back.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this ExtendoVite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life.
Hey,
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And the call-in number for this show this morning is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. My guest this morning is Professor Kevin McDonald. He is a professor of psychology from Cal State University at Long Beach. He is a prolific writer. He's written numerous articles and books. And we are going to discuss, several things this morning. But what we're going to start off with is playing a tape that I had heard or an audio of Dennis Prager talking about why Jewish people don't want Americans to have a national identity. And then we're going to go forward from there. So if they play the clip, please, I would appreciate it.
Jews are the most religious people in the world, per capita. The problem is, for most Jews, their religion is not Judaism. And the substitute religion has been other isms, and they have nearly always been left of center. Jews inherited Judaism's preoccupation with goodness and assumed that secular isms will make the world good. So Jews found isms like Italians found operas. That is the Jewish culture. Every ism except Nazism was either founded or disproportionately directed by Jews. Marxism, socialism, feminism, environmentalism, you name the ism, Jews. It reads like a B'nai B'rith roster to read the leaders of those movements. Marx was the grandson of two Orthodox rabbis. It is not coincidental. The chosen people for him were not the Jews, they were the proletariat. I mean, there were parallels all over the place. That's why the more Jews believe in Judaism, the less likely they are to be on the left. That's a demographic fact. That is not a personal opinion. Because Jews already who are religious have a religion. They don't need a secular religion as a substitute. But Jews want to fix the world and think that all these other isms will do it. I think they're false gods, even though many Jews mean well, and I believe that, mean well. Very often in that way. There are some for whom it is more in the other direction, not, I don't know about meaning well, but there is another Jew called the non-Jewish Jew. I wrote an essay, which you can find on the internet easily, George Soros and the Problem of the Non-Jewish Jew. And if you don't know who he is, it's not even significant, but the point is that a lot of Jews become non-Jewish Jews, meaning they don't have a Jewish identity, and it's very important for them that no one have an identity. This is very important in understanding this. Jews with no identity want Americans to have no identity, and Frenchmen to have no identity, and the world to have no national identity, but rather an international identity. Because the identity-free are annoyed by and even scared of those with identity. They associate national identity with nationalism, nationalism with chauvinism, and chauvinism with Nazism. That's how it works in their minds. So these are a few of the reasons why Jews would opt in that direction. But I can't say that I find it rational, to be perfectly honest. I'll give you one little example, and I purposely stayed away from any politics in my speech. I think you have to grant that. If you didn't know me, you would have no way of knowing what my politics were based on the talk I gave for Judaism, because I want people of all backgrounds to take it seriously. But since the question is asked, I'll just give you one example of what strikes me as an utterly bizarre view for Jews to hold, and that is to be opposed to gun ownership. I'm stunned by it. After the Holocaust, for Jews to believe it's a bad thing for citizens to be able to defend themselves is, I literally do not know of a more irrational position than that. If all the Jews of Europe had a gun, there would not have been a Holocaust. A lot of Jews would have been killed, but the price of killing the Jews would have been too high for the Nazis, And they probably would have at some point given up. Just look at how many Nazis it took to suppress the Warsaw Ghetto Revolt. And there, how many guns were there? I don't know, 10, 20.
Well, Dr. McDonald, you know, I had heard that clip, and it reminded me of when I had read your Culture of Critique. And as I started to say in the beginning, you know, it makes perfect sense to me that a group of people would want to do everything possible so that they would be able to continue to exist. And I found it rather interesting that it seems as Dennis Prager, who happens to be Jewish, mentions that the Jews have been the founders of all the isms out there, and that they want to fix the world, so he claims, but in their fixing the world, then they would become the all-powerful in the world, and everybody else would be subservient to them. And, of course, if you wanted to maintain your identity, then, of course, wouldn't you strive to be the all-powerful? What do you think?
Right. I think there's some basic confusions in what he says. If you look at these Jewish intellectual movements, which are indeed associated with the left, that's really what I deal with in the Culture of Critique. In fact, these people had very strong Jewish identities. He's claimed that they didn't have any Jewish identity. They had a strong secular Jewish identity, and they took a very negative view about the rest of society. He is quite correct, though, that these people have not wanted the rest of the people to have a strong identity. They have strongly opposed Christianity as an identity. They've tried their best to get Christianity out of the public square. They have certainly opposed, as he mentions there, they've opposed nationalism as ultimately anti-Jewish. He even said it. They're concerned about Nazism. Well, why are they concerned about Nazism? Because of its effect on Jews. It's not just a matter of fixing the world. I mean, if you think about the effects of, you know, about the left, about communism, which Jews were very strongly associated with the communism throughout at least the first half of the 20th century, even until, you know, fairly recently. You know, it's been, you know, evil is the only word for it. I mean, you've had mass murders and political repression and everything else has not been a matter of fixing the world. It's been a matter of changing the world in a manner in which it is possible to continue a Jewish identity. I mean, that's the main point of Culture of Critique, is that these people have not lost their Jewish identities, but they've wanted to change the world to make this Jewish identity feasible and to continue into the future. So that's why it's part of Judaism as a group evolutionary strategy. My view is that the struggle between Jews and non-Jews basically takes place in the arena of culture. It does not take place on battlefields as in many other conflicts between peoples. It takes place in universities. It takes place in the op-ed on television and so on. It's a matter of culture, and it has not been directed towards making the world a better place. It's been directed at making the world a place that's safe for Jews.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dr. McDonald. I've read several of the different things that you have written, and you talk about cultural programming. Define what that means.
Well, one of the basic strands of my thinking is that humans are not animals. We have this big brain of ours. We are very rational, and because of that, it's very important what our beliefs and attitudes are assume great importance. And so there is such a thing as cultural programming. You were quoting earlier from a paper I did on the psychology of white ethnocentrism. Well, part of that psychology is that we have beliefs and ideas which do come ultimately from the media. They come from universities. That's why the Culture of Critique has been so important, because you've created this culture where people think of race, they think of nationalism, they think of white identity in terms that have been basically brought about by these Jewish intellectual movements. these people have not been, you know, on our side. They haven't been engaging in these things for our benefit. They've been engaging in these things for us to essentially stop having any idea of defending our people. And that's the thing that, that struck me. In the past, you've had people like Charles Martel and you know, all these long list of heroes. And but we don't see people now, you know, trying to bring about a defense for their people. Instead, you know, we see people cowering, concerned about their jobs, not wanting to appear immoral, not wanting to be labeled a racist, and just cowering when people mention those things. So, you know, that's programming. That's cultural programming. It's coming from the media every day. It's coming from TV shows. It's coming from movies. It's a full court press where these ideas are just drilled into people, and people have a shame for identifying themselves as white, as having a sense of European identity, as having a sense of European interest. That's what is so strange and unusual now. But we can trace what happened and see the consequences now.
You know, I was listening to an interview you did with someone, I don't remember who it was, but one of the things you had mentioned, and it really makes so much sense when people step out of this whole dialectic we're all sucked into and really step back and analyze what it is that's happening, what's happened, and why these different things occur. You were talking about how, I just lost my train of thought. I'm telling you, Dr. McDonald, the mind is the first thing to go.
I know the same feeling.
It's something in the water, I bet. I think, and I'm sure there is.
It's a conspiracy.
You know what? Honestly, it is. I think it is. They knew that I was going to have you on today, so they did something to me in the middle of my sleep, and that's why I lost my train of thought. I forgot. Well, let's go. I forgot what it was that you had. Oh, I know. It was illogical for people to believe that our form of government, our representative republic, the opportunity for people to have an equal shot at things, equal justice, it was illogical for people to believe when the basis for that was Western civilization. When Western civilization falls, that those entities would be maintained.
Exactly. That is one of the big misconceptions that people have. They think that the world is going to be the same, you know, 100 years, that the United States will have the same form of government and all that. Well, when you let all these non-Western peoples into this country, when they start having a say, they do not have any traditions of this. And in the long run, you know, you have to think, you have to realize the United States is a creation of Western culture. And then when we see all these movements of the left, these Jewish intellectual movements, have basically been directed at undermining that. And if you look at Judaism itself, there is simply no tradition of representative government, free speech, or anything like that. Jewish communities have always been very authoritarian, very top-down, very sort of dictatorial. Free speech was simply completely unknown. You have a sort of small group of people at the top of it is typically an important rabbi that basically tells people what to believe. And if you don't believe it, you are simply thrown out or disciplined in some way. It's very, very dictatorial system. And if you look at communism, say, which really is a creation of Jewish intellectual movements and political activities in the Soviet Union, it certainly did not believe in representative government, did not believe in free speech or anything like that. And even in places like Israel now, there are strong currents on the very religious right in Israel to get rid of democracy. It's simply not a Jewish form of government.
Hold that thought, Dr. McDonald, Professor McDonald. We have to go to the break. We'll be right back, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. My guest this morning is Professor Kevin McDonald. We will be right back, so do not go away. Don't change that dial.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rudd, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you would like to call into the show this morning, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443 is the number. Hello to all of the stations out there across the country who are carrying the programming, and hello to everybody in the Dallas area who is now listening through KHFX 1140 AM. My guest this morning is Professor Kevin McDonald, and when we went to break, Professor McDonald, you were making a point, so if you'd like to continue there, please do so.
Well, I was just saying that our government, the representative government we have is a product of Western culture, and when we become a minority, there's no guarantee that these institutions will continue. And I would also say that when we become a minority, the quite a few of the people that are now in the country have what you might call strong historical grudges against us. And at that point, I think Prager was mentioning, you know, having guns. Well, it will be important for European-derived peoples to be able to defend themselves, because even now we see quite a bit of whites being victimized in this country. You have all these black flash mobs, and they're beating people up and so on. Well, you know, 20 years from now, it's going to be way worse as whites become less and less powerful politically. We're going to have to really get into be concerned about our physical safety at that point.
Well, you know, Professor McDonald's is rather interesting because when you think about what happens when a group becomes a minority with a majority who has an axe to grind, and, of course, the white majority in this country has been browbeaten into, I'm going to say, subservience. But the race card has been played so much in this country. And so now, you know, we, of course, have been trying to make amends for sins committed, sins of commission and omission that have happened in this country because of slavery. And so now we have bent over backwards to try to accommodate people because we felt guilty, even though none of us were alive when those things transpired. And in actuality, slavery still exists in many parts of the world, and it isn't Western Europeans who were enslaving people. However, we are now at a point where we have bent over backwards, but when we are no longer the majority in this population with the same level of guilt for past so-called sins of omission and commission, will the people still think, well, it's necessary to make sure that the minority has a say in what happens?
Exactly. I don't think that we can expect that these people who are crowding into our country are going to treat us as well as we're treating them. We are, you know, bringing these people in, we're providing them, you know, welfare benefits, you know, all these different things that are attracting people to this country. We are certainly treating them well in terms of laws and all that. But in the future, I just don't see that happening. If you look at the history of the world, ethnic conflict is the big name of the game. Western societies have managed to rise above that. We have representative government. We have laws. But these things are not going to survive if we become a minority. And so at that point, whites are going to have to worry about being victimized. It's certainly happening in South Africa now. When you see whites in a minority where they lack political power, they're going to be increasingly victimized and eventually run out.
Well, you know, a lot of people, of course, and even a lot of white people, because white people don't have an identity anymore because they're not allowed to have an identity. Like, for example, now I'm outside of Philadelphia, Dr. McDonald, and there is a phone book here, or yellow pages, rather, with solely with black-owned businesses in it. It's a directory of black-owned businesses. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but if there was a directory of white-owned businesses, well, then that would be racism. That would be exclusionary. How dare you do that? But if it's a directory of black-owned businesses, well, that's okay, and that's acceptable. And it just, I guess, at what point will we get in our evolution of our society, Dr. McDonald, at what point do you think we'll get where we're at the point where, okay, now it's even Steven, you know, all the affirmative action and all that stuff. We've had affirmative action on steroids and still continue to do so. At what point have we made enough amends?
From the standpoint of our opponents, there's never going to be such a point. For one thing, it's not easy in fact, I don't think it's possible to raise black educational achievement and so on. So they're going to have affirmative action. If they ever stop it, there's going to be just, you know, very, very few blacks who are able to get into, you know, good universities, graduate from law school and so on. So affirmative action is going to be needed into the far, far distant future if you're going to get blacks represented at anything like their percentage of the population. But you mentioned a very important thing. You have all these double standards where white people are not, we can't have an identity as whites. We can't advertise for white businesses and all that. It's just, I think that is one of the most important themes of the Culture of Critique, my book, that the bottom line is that they have actually tried and been successful at making us ashamed to have a white identity. That is just insane. All other peoples of the world have a strong sense of who they are. They identify with their ethnic group. If you look at Jews in this country, you know, they, at the same time that they've supported these movements that have made white people ashamed of being white or European or something like that, they have strongly supported Israel, which is a Jewish state, which has an immigration policy which does not allow just anybody to come to the country. You have to be Jewish and all that. So these double standards are just ubiquitous. They're everywhere. And we almost take them for granted, but we should be fighting. We should be angry at this state of affairs. It's just horrible.
Well, you know, I think honestly, and I say this a lot on my show, that we need some testosterone put in the water, because it only makes biological sense that you would want to see yourself continue. It's only human nature. I mean, our greatest instinct is thirst, our drive to satisfy, to survive. Our instinct for survival and self-preservation used to be our greatest instinct, but it certainly has been, I don't know, whether it's through what, all the hormones going in the water, or whether it's through fluoride, or I don't know. There's a lot of different theories on that, but it certainly has been almost eliminated out of certain groups in our society, and it just is, it absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. But I think there's obviously a clear relationship between the people who have pushed these different agendas and the outcome that exists today. And it's like, what's good for one isn't good for another. It's only good for one. It's not good for everybody.
Exactly. I just got this email recently from this guy in England, and it's a good example of how white people are programmed. He says, off the bat, one insight I have is that I'm still
Hang on, Dr. McDonald. Read that email. When we come back, we got to go to a quick two-minute break, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie Rodden. We'll be right back, so don't go away.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited...
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you'd like to call the show this morning, 800-313-9443 is the number. 800-313-9443 is the number. And I am joined this morning by Professor Kevin McDonald, and you just started to talk about an email you received from someone in the UK, I believe. So please go ahead, Dr. McDonald.
Yes, it's an example of someone who's very conscious of being programmed. Here's what he says. Off the bat, one insight I have is that I'm still very fearful and very programmed to the extent that I still cannot stomach supporting outfits like the British National Party. He says, I'm English. I'm not saying this to you as a criticism of the BNP, but as a psychological point in that I'm totally committed to a lifetime of fighting our fighting for our cause, as I see it. I've seen it all, but so intensive has the propaganda been in my own country about parties acting there that I am still sort of compartmentalized, and that if my mind turns to the BNP, I start feeling shame and fear. Shame for thinking, quote, fascist thoughts, and fear for being found out. So I think that is really a good example of how white people are programmed. Even when they understand what is happening, and they understand that it's entirely normal, entirely reasonable to support their interests and so on, they just have this huge inhibition. They feel shame. And, of course, they feel fear. If they have a job where there's any kind of threat where they could get fired or something like that, they are terrified of being found out as for having. So we're actually living in a very dictatorial, totalitarian environment that we're sort of not even aware of. Quite a few people are not aware of. But as soon as you have these ideas, you have to be afraid for your job. The Southern Poverty Law Center will call up your boss. Newspaper accounts. Pretty soon, you will either be fired or you'll be ostracized. So this is a very powerful regime here, and it's very difficult to combat it. You can see this guy, even though he understands it, even though he totally believes it, he can't bring himself to do anything.
I remember being a teenager in the 70s, Dr. McDonald, and I remember when, with affirmative action and all of that stuff, and people got extra points on civil service tests and that stuff based on race. And, at the time, I remember thinking, we're so evil, we enslave people, and this makes perfect sense. We should give them extra points. We should try to make amends for all the terrible things we did. That's what I was thinking at that time. I'm 54 years old now. So I thought that at the time, and I thought, okay, but after a while, after a period of time, after decade after decade after decade, and then you see what's transpired in a lot of the minority communities, the black community in this country, after Johnson's Great Society, you see that their community is more in peril. Their family structure has been entirely devastated. 70% of the kids are born out of wedlock. Back in 1965, that wasn't the case. They were born to a mother and father who were married. Now they're not. So this is the evolution of Johnson's Great Society. It's evolved into absolute chaos. And and the affirmative action, that's certainly not helping people be promoted if they're not able to do a job and they're promoted anyway. Well, it gives them a paycheck. But also what I think it creates is people looking at them saying, well, are you in that job because you truly have the skill set and the capability of doing it? Or are you in that job because of the color of your skin? And to me, if I was black, I'd want people to know I was someplace because I actually had the ability to do it. That would be my psyche. That would be more important to my psyche than just being handed something. Because someone felt guilty and they felt they needed to make amends.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I do think, though, that the blacks who get into these positions think that they're entitled to them. And they don't have the same self-conceptions that we have or perceptions about this. In fact, I was just writing this blog today, but there's a column that appeared in the LA Times late last week. By this guy Ron Brownstein, and he's saying, that there's still these disparities between blacks and whites, and we have to do things. We have to invest more in education. Well, we've been doing this for 40 years, 50 years now, and things just haven't changed. And he says we should ignore, we should compensate for black family structure. We should, as if that doesn't matter, and we should just plow ahead, trying to make these kids educable and get them college degrees and all that. Well, it's just a pipe dream. It doesn't take account of human nature. It doesn't take account of the reality of IQ. It ignores all this research. It's just an amazing testimony. But that's where, the mainstream media, where the sort of liberal left is about these things. They don't want to talk about race. They don't want to talk about IQ or anything like that.
Well, Dr. Thomas Sowell had, I was listening to him or reading something he had written, and he talked about how when he was going off to Harvard, back in, I think, at the 40s or 50s, he went to Harvard, and he said that one of his family members said, listen, don't come back complaining that some white man was mean to you and that's why you couldn't make it. And, you know, I go back to Johnson's Great Society. That hasn't helped the black family. That's decimated the black family. And the black family would be able to compete if it wasn't because of the interference of people who are interfering, who interfered with their family structure and helped to decimate it. Johnson's Great Society interfered with a structure that was a functional unit quite capable of getting anywhere they needed to go and being all that they could be, to use that cliche. And we've interfered and helped to destroy it, not make it stronger.
That's absolutely right. I teach child psychology, and in my textbook, there's this graph of single parenthood, you know, going back to say, 1950. And you see that blacks always had a higher rate of that. But beginning in around 1965, it just completely took off. And you're right. I mean, the Great Society did not help the black family. The sort of cultural revolution of the 1960s did not help this. It made all these things worse. So on the one hand, there's been all this affirmative action. On the other hand, the great mass of black people are worse off now than they ever were. And they're completely unable to become educated, to be able to really attain a responsible position in the society. So absolutely right.
Well, you know what? Also, and we've got a couple callers we've got that I'm going to take because we're going to go to break in another minute. And then when we come back, we'll take Janet in London and Dave in Massachusetts. Hang in there, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie Rodd. We'll be right back.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Ladies, gentlemen, Americans, meet Steve Voss.
The American dream has become a nightmare.
Steve Voss.
We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not...
To meet and see Steve Voss perform live, you need to be at Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, downtown at the Expo Center, all for $9 tickets. Get yours at GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss Steve Voss in concert live at Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri.
Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take
America. Hey, everybody. This is Maggie Rodden, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And the call-in number this morning is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. My guest this morning is Professor Kevin McDonald. And I wanted to make a real quick comment, then we're going to grab a couple of callers that we have on the line. You know, Dr. McDonald, it seems apparent to me that if you're using a divide-and-conquer strategy, then what you do is you set up the situations that will lead to a division and conquering of groups of people. You set up affirmative action not because you want to unite people, but because you want to divide them and play on emotions of envy and jealousy and anger and just all the different human emotions that human beings exhibit at varying times in their life based on different circumstances. And you had mentioned the sense of entitlement that a lot of people feel. Well, this is morphed out into the whole populace today. People feel that they're entitled to a lot of things. Even this whole social justice mantra, that's a divide and conquer strategy used by the handful of people who want to rule the world, or do, I should say, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, J.P. Morgan, Schiff, Warburg, Mellon, that whole crew of individuals. They are playing us all like a bass fiddle, all of us, because they are manipulating the feelings and emotions of all different groups and trying to divide and conquer all of us, and that is their strategy that we are seeing played out all across the world. My opinion.
Yes, I would agree with that. And, you know, it's interesting what you say, that providing all this affirmative action and all of these things hasn't changed black anger. That is, blacks have been encouraged to be angry about whites. And that's one of the things that I'm, you know, concerned about the future, that this is not leading to some kind of racial peace. This is leading to greater divisions, greater hostility, greater historical grudges. And, you know, so that when whites become relatively less powerful, we are going to be in serious danger physically.
Well, you know, you have to, who was it, Saul Alinsky, you got to pick a target and you got to freeze it and frame it, and you create the rhetoric that goes along with that target. Now, certainly, European heritage individuals had a hand in some bad things, but who was it prompting all of those people? Nothing happens without somebody behind the whole group edging it on. Do you know what I mean? Or egging it on. At least that's my opinion. Maybe I'm totally misguided. Maybe I don't know my left foot from my right. But there's always someone manipulating everything. If you look at it throughout history, there's an instigator, for lack of a better word, always in any situation. Because otherwise, I don't know, do situations just spontaneously emerge on their own? No, I don't believe so. I think there's somebody there that's, you know, picking the scab off the wound kind of thing and getting it going. Just like you mentioned, you know, the black people in this country feeling a lot more animosity towards white people. Well, it's stirred up all the time. All you ever see on television is things about slavery in this country and that kind of stuff. It's like, at what point is that put to bed? I mean, how many years has it been since we started to institute affirmative action, and yet you still have this anger playing out in the streets, even though everybody who's as a benefit of affirmative action, you benefited from affirmative action. But it doesn't make any difference. There will never be enough mea culpas on the side of white people to ever make that go away. And then I would like you to have a comment. Please go ahead and comment, Dr. McDonald, and then I'd like to take the callers.
I agree entirely with that. And there have been, you know, some aspects of our civilization that have not been, you know, something that you could defend morally, but, you know, slavery being an example.
Hang on, Dr. McDonald. We got to grab this break real quick. It's just a quick one-minute break, so hang on there, Dr.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is